Religious principles based on devotional service. Raja, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Hanyat, destroy. Sattva, of goodness. Vidhi, by the increase. Anuttamaha, the greatest. Ashu, quickly. Nashyati, is destroyed. Tat, of passion and ignorance. Mulaha, the root. He, certainly. Adharma, irreligion. Ubaye hate, when both are destroyed. Translation. Religious principles, strengthened by the mode of goodness, destroy the influence of passion and ignorance. When passion and ignorance are overcome, their original cause, irreligion, is quickly vanquished. So there's no purport for this. We will go on to text number 4. I will just go through the Sanskrit quickly. Agamo pa praja desha kala karma cha janma cha jnanam mantrota saṃsāro daśaite gunhetava. Agama, religious scriptures. Apaha, water. Praja, association with people, association with people in general, or one's children. Desha, place. Kala, time. Karma, activities. Cha, also. Janma, birth. Cha, also. Jnanam, meditation. Mantra, chanting of mantras. Atta, and. Sanskara, rituals for purification. Dasha, 10. Ette, these. Guna, of the modes of nature. Hetava, causes. Translation. According to the quality of religious scriptures, water, one's association with one's children or the people in general, the particular place, the time, activities, birth, meditation, chanting of mantras, and purificatory rituals, the modes of nature become differently prominent. A short purport. 3 sentences. The 10 items mentioned above possess superior and inferior qualities and thus are identified as being in goodness, passion, or ignorance. One can increase the mode of goodness by selecting religious scriptures in goodness, pure water, friendship with other persons in goodness, and so on. One should scrupulously avoid any of these 10 items that may be polluted by inferior mode of nature. Om Agyanamindasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshanumanidangita Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapidamina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svavarandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvare Rishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchikalpa Jadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Religious principles strengthened by the mode of goodness destroy the influence of passion and ignorance. When passion and ignorance are overcome, the original cause, irreligion, is quickly vanquished. According to the quality of religious scriptures, water, one's association with one's children, other people in general, the particular place, time, activities, birth, meditation, chanting of mantras, and the purificatory rituals, the mode of nature has become differently prominent. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly explains to Arjuna in the 14th chapter the three modes of material nature, the qualities of the three different modes, how they interact with one another, and how, because of our bodily identification, our consciousness is differently influenced by the combination of these three modes. Krishna says that the three modes is goodness, passion, and ignorance, and in their pure state, they are constantly, Krishna says, they're competing for supremacy, actually. She says, sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the mode of passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion becomes prominent, defeating goodness and ignorance. And sometimes ignorance becomes prominent, defeating both passion and goodness. So this interaction of the modes, it's caused by a few things. Two come to my mind. One is the influence of Krishna's Kala Shakti, or time, and the other very prominent also is the influence of the desire of the living entity. It is stated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is the unseen activity of the living entity, desire within our heart. And according to the strength, purity, intensity, and such of our individual desire, the modes interact accordingly to arrange things to satisfy our individual desires. Sometimes, according to our desires, the best body that is suitable for us to fulfill that desire is human being. Sometimes the best body suitable for desire for fulfilling a particular desire is that of a monkey, or that of a tree, or an aquatic, or even in a microbe, or sometimes a demigod. So it's said, in fact, we understand that Krishna is not partial to any living entity. He's equally disposed to everyone. So how is it that one living entity gets the body of a demigod? One living entity gets the body of a tree? One living entity gets the body of a human being or a monkey? How is it? I'm asking you a question now. How is this? If Krishna is equal to everyone, why does one living entity get the body of a dog or a hog, and another one get the body of a demigod? Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice example. Go ahead.
As per karma, their karma?
As per karma, yes, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. That is correct, but it's more based on desire. Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example. When he was here in Mumbai in the early, I don't even know what year it was, he was staying in the apartment of a very, very nice Vaishnavi named Mahadevia. Any of you familiar with that name? Anybody actually know Mr. Mahadevia or knew him? Anyhow, Prabhupada gave the example. He said, Mr. Mahadevi, he loves me very much. He's given me one nice room to stay in his flat. But if I don't like this room, and I go to Mr. Mahadevi and say, Mr. Mahadevi, I want that room. Mr. Mahadevi, because he loves me, yes, yes, you certainly can change into this room, not a problem. Because he loves you. So in the same way, Krishna loves us very much. If I want the body of a monkey, Krishna will say, yes, yes, by all means, have the body of a monkey. Anybody know what parkour is? P-A-R-K-O-U-R? I just stumbled across this on YouTube one evening when I was couldn't sleep. Anyhow, it's people who just, you know, run around climbing up buildings. And when I was watching it, I was thinking, this is just like what monkeys do. And I thought, these people who are into parkour are preparing their next life to have the body of a monkey. So in the same way, Krishna, because he loves everyone, he awards us a body according to our particular desire in the core of our heart. And yes, we can say it's karma, but more than karma, it's based on our individual desire to enjoy in a particular fashion. If we want to eat any damn thing, Krishna will reward us with the body of a hog. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Many, okay, but not everybody. Those of you who have been to Vrindavan, have you seen how the hogs are living in Vrindavan? In these open sewers, open gutters, the water is filthy black. And the hogs are just in there very nicely. Only their snout, their nose, is above the waterline so they can breathe. And they're very happy. In fact, I'm not sure I should even say this from the Vyasasana, but because it illustrates a point in the scriptures, I will share it with you. I was riding on a rickshaw and down the street in Vrindavan, and we happened to drive past a nice, fresh pile of stool. And as I was riding past there, Krishna just, you know, he arranged the whole thing. Two big hogs, well, one big and one smaller, went running after this pile. And of course, the bigger one, the law of nature, whoever has the bigger body has the right of way, knocked the smaller hog out of the way and just ate it up. Raptor. Because, you know, they are rewarded a body because they like to eat anything. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, said that if you offer a hog very nice halava cooked in ghee, very nice, no interest. No interest. Because they like to eat any abominable thing in the mode of ignorance, something in the mode of goodness, even sattva-guna, not interested. So it's according to our desires that we interact with the modes of material nature. And even though there are only three primary modes, there's unlimited combination of those three elements. Just like an expert artist can take the three primary colors. Who knows what they are? Indigo, red, and yellow. Yellow, red, and blue. I see, I don't even know. But an expert artist can take those three colors, red, yellow, and blue, and create an unlimited variety of shades and hues from them. So in the same way, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, can combine in an infinite variety of ways to satisfy the desires of every living entity, how to try to enjoy this body. And this, Srila Prabhupada says, is our skin disease. I'm thinking I'm a man. I'm American. Someone is thinking I'm a woman, an Indian. Someone is thinking I'm a dog. Woof, woof. Someone is thinking, I'm a demigod. I'm in control of whatever. But these Prabhupada says these are all skin disease. And factually, Lord Chaitanya taught us, Naham vipro, na achar, na pratir, na pivaishana, shudro. I'm not a vipro. I'm not a brahmana. I'm not a kshatriya. I'm not a vaishya. I'm not a shudra. I'm not a brahmachari. I'm not a grihasta. I'm not a vanaprastha. I'm not a sannyasi. So what's left? If we're not any of these four social or spiritual orders, he goes on to explain that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of the gopis. Gopi bartu pada kamadira das das anudasa. That I am spiritually, I am the spirit soul in my natural position is servant. Even in this material world, there are no masters. There are only servants. You can be the CEO of Tata. Are you in charge? Are you independent? No. You have so many shareholders you are required by law to satisfy by increasing their earnings, by increasing the value of their shares. I don't know Indian law, but in America, that's the law. The corporation must make decisions based on what will increase the value of the stock that the shareholders are. So even the CEO of a corporation, humongous corporation, he's a servant. And we get down to a smaller unit, to the family unit. How many husbands we have? Husbands think, I'm in charge of the family. But the wives know better. The wives know who's actually in charge. So actually we're all servants. Even though we may think, I'm in charge of this, or I'm... But no, we're factually, we're servant. And in spiritual life, the more we become removed from the master, das, 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 the higher that actual position actually becomes. Because material life is characterized by thinking, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the master, I'm in charge, which is a perverted reflection of reality in the spiritual world, when in reality, Krishna is the master. He's the supreme controller. And he has his intimate associates who assist him in his enjoying, in his enjoyment. And then below, the assistants have assistants who have assistants who have assistants. And the further removed we are, the more glorious that position. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Das, Das, Anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. And Krishna, he is the supreme master. So the different places in the Bhagavatam, there are different, call them analytical studies like this, where it gets into the details of how the material nature is working and like this. Lord Kapila Dev discussed in great detail to his mother, Devahuti, in the third canto, chapters in the 20, 22, 23, 24, 5, 6, like that, analytical study of material nature. And this is important for us to understand. This is called Sankhya Yoga, because Sankhya Yoga is one of the four pillars that knowledge is supported by. Knowledge is not independent, but it rests on four legs. One of those legs is Sankhya. A second leg is Yoga. A third leg is Vairagya, and the fourth leg is Tapa. So these are the pillars that support all knowledge. So it's important that we understand, but not get sidetracked. We need to cultivate knowledge simply to get us to the platform of realizing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the infinitesimal spirit soul, and my duty, my perfection, is to reawaken our dormant relationship and learn how, once again, to love and serve Krishna properly, according to the rules and regulations. So this is what knowledge is to bring us to the platform of. It is not that we cultivate knowledge for the sake of knowledge itself. And Prabhupada used the term, don't become an intellectual beast of burden, like a donkey. A donkey carries a load, big, big, big load on his back. Don't cultivate knowledge like that. Knowledge has a purpose, just like money has a purpose. People who collect money but don't spend it, they have a name, it begins with M, miser. Still like that. We don't collect knowledge simply for the sake of it, but for the goal. Krishna says, I am the goal of all knowledge. To know me, to serve me once again. So in these prayers by the Hamsavatar, or the questions that are answered in the Hamsavatar, is to give us factual knowledge of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll stop there. Did anybody have any questions or comments on that part? Otherwise, we'll go into Vishrubha Mahotsava. Yes, no? Yes?
Prabhuji, you just mentioned about that knowledge is based on four legs.
It rests on four legs.
Sankhya, Vairagya, Tapa, and Yoga.
Yes.
So can you elaborate this point a little bit? What exactly, how it produces knowledge?
It doesn't produce knowledge. Knowledge stands on those four legs. Just like, for example, before Lord Brahma could create the universe, he was told, he heard the 16th and 21st syllables, ta and pa. And he understood that I need to perform tapa, tapasya. And so by that meditation, what happened? The Lord was pleased and revealed to him through his heart the process by which he could create the material universe. So it's like that. Yoga is also... Prabhupada gives the definition. It's in the third canto. It's a section about the four Kumars. Anyhow, in the beginning, Lord Brahma is describing how he had to create the conditions under which the material, under which the living entities would live in the universe. And he had to create five nescient activities first. I believe it's the second verse it's the third canto, I don't remember what chapter, I'm sorry. But he had to create nescient activities. Bodily conception of life, fear of death, things like this. And he felt very dirty after this. He just felt like, I don't want to do this, but he had to. He had to create the conditions in which the living entities could live before he could create the actual forms. And so in those purports, Srila Prabhupada is describing about these four pillars of knowledge. And he says that Sankhya, it's an analytical study of material conditions. It's an empirical philosophy. And it's a study of the material conditions, how the material energy interacts with itself, how it moves around, how the three modes of nature interact, and like this. Then yoga, Prabhupada, he defines as it's a mysticism, but it's meant to liberate the living entity from the grasp of the material energy. It's not meant to attain the mystic perfections, but it's meant to actually liberate the conditioned soul from the material conditions. Vairagya, Prabhupada defines as complete detachment from material enjoyment for the purpose of spiritual realization, of self-realization. And fourthly is tapa, or the voluntary performance of austerities so that we can cultivate spiritual knowledge, and also get relief from material entanglement. So these four activities, these four principles, are essential for the proper cultivation of complete knowledge, the total body of knowledge. We can be knowledgeable in something, but ignorant in other areas, but to acquire the full body of knowledge, these four principles are necessary. Now, it's not that we have to cultivate them independently. by properly and fully engaging in the process of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master and with sincerity in our heart, these different legs automatically grow within us. But it's important for our complete body of knowledge to understand that there are principles that which knowledge stands upon. Okay? And I'll try and find where those are described in Bhagavatam. I just don't remember. Third canto, 12th chapter, 4th verse. Thank you very much. Okay? So today is the anniversary of the sannyas initiation of Vishwarup, the elder brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also Srila Prabhupada took sannyas initiation on this very day as well. We will talk about Vishwarup first. The elder brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first son of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. They had many daughters first, but everyone expired at birth. And so when Sachimata finally got a child who lived, she was so happy. And in Indian culture, naturally, the first son is number one son. And although the parents love all of the children equally, the number one son has a special place in the heart of the mother. Yes? And so, Vishwarup was very dear to everyone. He was especially fond of Advaitacharya, who is an incarnation of who? Mahavishnu. And Advaitacharya Prabhu used to teach and preach in both of his houses. He had a house in Shantipur and a house in Mayapur area. And Vishwarup Prabhu used to love listening to Advaitacharya. And so he would go there regularly to hear from him and learn from him. And he became very much attached to the message that Advaitacharya was preaching about Krishna consciousness and about devotional service. And he was naturally, in his heart, he was very detached and renounced. And when Vishwarup naturally... Parents, they want their son to get married. It's a very natural feeling for a mother and father. And so Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata were arranging for the marriage of Vishwarup. And when Vishwarup heard about this, he did not want to get married. So what did he do? He left home. He took sannyas, and Mother Sachi was devastated. Already she had lost all of her daughters at the time of birth. I don't recall, what was Jagannath Mishra, did he also depart by this time? When Vishwarup? Is that a yes or is that a no? Yeah. No? Yes? No. Okay, he was still present. That's right, because he was arranging for... So he was also present, but shortly after... That's right, thank you. After Vishwarup left home and took sannyas, Jagannath Mishra was just so heartbroken, then he left his body shortly thereafter. And it was only Nimai who was left at home with his mother, Sachimata. So on this day, Vishwarup, he took sannyas. Does anybody recall who he took sannyas from? Does anybody recall? I don't remember. I'm not even sure it's stated anywhere. Okay, the conclusion is we don't know. I'm glad I'm not alone. Vishwarup, he left home, never to return again. He traveled all over India preaching. And at some point later in his life, I do not recall how long he was traveling and preaching as a sannyasi, but in Pandharpur, He gave up his body and went back to the spiritual.
No, he merged into the body of Lord Nityananda, I think, who he was a expansion of, something like that. I'm not clear on that. How many of you have been to Pandharpur? Not me. I know Maharaj has gone there on Yatra more than once, so you are much more familiar with this pastime than I am. And also on this day, our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, under the repeated urging of his Guru Maharaj, I say repeated urging, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to Srila Prabhupada, many times in dream, but on three different occasions, he called him to take sannyas. And the first thing, Srila Prabhupada related this pastime to some of his disciples. I didn't hear directly, but I've heard from those who have heard. Srila Prabhupada said, I was horrified. When in my dream, my Guru Maharaj called me to take sannyas, he was just like, oh, I can't do this. But Prabhupada said, I wasn't ready. But three times, his Guru Maharaj appeared to him in a dream and encouraged him to take sannyas. So finally, on this day, anybody remember the year 1956? Was that it? Anybody? I'm sorry? 1959. So Prabhupada finally accepted the renounced order of life. His Guru Maharaj, his sannyas Guru Maharaj, his Bhakti... Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, thank you very much. And then I also read that Srila Prabhupada wrote the preface, I believe it's the preface, to the Nectar of Instruction on this day. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj explains in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how we get the blessings of the great saints. It's a very simple process. Very simple. So simple that it seems like it's got to be more difficult. But he explains it simply by remembering the great saints, we invoke their blessings. So this is why we celebrate the appearance and disappearance days of great saints and acharyas, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, His different incarnations, expansions, and so forth. Because on their appearance days and their disappearance days, if we simply remember, of course, any day, but especially on these days, we offer prayers to them, and by simply remembering them and offering prayers to them and praying for their mercy and their guidance and their kindness, they are naturally very lovingly disposed towards us. And it's very easy to receive their blessings. Very easy. As Kaviraj Maharaj says, simply by remembering, we invoke their blessings. So it's important that we properly observe these appearance days, disappearance days, Mahotsavas, you know, the sannyas celebration like this of the great saints and acharyas, because we can receive their blessings very easily in that way. And by having the blessings of these great saints, they remove the impediments, the blockage that's holding us in this material world. We have so many impediments that we're mainly holding on to because we're attached to them. But if we remember the saints and sages and incarnations of the Lord, they will help us to release them by replacing our material attachment with a spiritual taste. Param drishtva navartate, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. I don't know about here in India, but in America, on January 1st, people like to take New Year's resolutions. This year I'm going to give up this, that, and the next thing. But it never works because they don't have the param drishtva. They don't have the superior taste, the higher taste, to replace the lower taste. So we take vows, I'm going to give up smoking, I'm going to give up this, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, I'm going to start these good habits. We don't, because we haven't gotten the param drishtva, the superior taste, it's very, very difficult to give up our lower attachments. It requires force. And how long can we force ourselves not to do something that we like doing? Very little. Like, how long can you hold your breath? 20 seconds? 2 minutes? I think the world record is 17 minutes or something like that. But it's only a short period of time, and then you have to once again breathe. Because we don't have the higher taste. But Srila Prabhupada is giving us this through the process of devotional service. And so by utilizing our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Hrishikenam, Hrishikesh, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchite, that we can easily give up our lower engagements. Very easily. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Anybody have any questions, comments, corrections, things you'd like to share? Thank you so much for allowing me to speak and humoring me. It's my great honor to be here once again, Radha Gopinath Mandir. I'm mixed amongst all of you, very great servants of Radhanath Maharaj and Radha Gopinath. Any way that I can serve you, you please engage me. Thank you so much. Radha Gopinath, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.